What is up, Internet? This is your pal, Guy Jackson, bringing you episode 5 of the Stuff with Guy podcast. And with me, as always, we got my hombre, Rye Bread.
Hey, everybody, how are ya?
Oh, come on, more than that, more than that.
Oh, well, come on, it's episode 5. We made it already this far.
Episode 5. And of course, the triumphant return of our boy, Toast Runner.
Oh, hey.
What was that?
Of course, who wanted to have an apparent name change, because Deuce Toast was kind of a shitty version of his name.
It's because you mispronounced
Deuce Toast. Number two.
Deus.
It's Deuce Toast. always be Deuce Toast. So, my friends, what is new in the hood?
A lot. You know what's going on right now.
Oh, I know what's going on. It's been absolute insanity. Yeah. And I'm sure that's why you want to talk about Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm throwing you guys off because we didn't even discuss this. Hey, who knew?
Oh, man.
Who knew that Cards Against Humanity, the company, bought a plot of land right on the U.S.-Mexican border just to foil Trump's plans for the wall? Did you know this, Brett? I can tell Toast. Toast knows this because he's giggling a little in the back.
What do you think of this?
No, I didn't even know that.
You didn't know this? Okay.
I didn't know that.
Okay, I've been holding...
Cards Against Humanity is irrelevant. They're irrelevant. It's old news.
No, but they're bringing themselves back. Brilliant move. So I can't even make this up. Cards Against Humanity buys land on the Mexican border to stump Trump's wall plan. And what they end up doing is they treat it like a crowdfunding option where people can to donate to the cause, and they get, I think they said they had it was a $15 purchase, and you get surprise gifts for helping to stop the Trump wall.
Does no one know what expropriation is?
Why?
Where
so.
The government can just swoop in and buy the land out from under you?
I could probably teach you a few things.
Continue, Toast.
Well, it's called expropriation. The government is able to come in and then give you fair value for your land and tell you to get out.
Yeah, but it's on the Mexican side of the border.
They purchased land in Mexico?
They purchased land in Mexico right across the border. So they have an opportunity to try to fuck them over as much as possible, be at the front there to cause mayhem.
By what? By having a bunch of people just sitting there playing Cards Against Humanity while they're trying to build the wall?
Sure, why not? Why couldn't you? That would be the best. Just watch them, you know, entice the workers to come over and play. To fucking berate them for hours on end, whatever they want to do, sit and pick it doesn't matter. They have that plot of land to ultimately.
I want to see Trump play Cards Against Humanity. That's what I want to see.
Oh, that would be fucking insane.
It sounds to me like the guys that work for Cards Against Humanity probably are all about protests and all that kind of stuff anyway, so let them do it.
Yeah, fair enough. But
I think this is just a way for them to try to stay relevant.
I
don't mean to be a negative piece of toast.
A negative piece of toast, yep.
That's what this sounds like. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey guys, look at us. We still make this shitty card game. Hey.
It's not that bad.
It's a good fucking card game. I'd play that any day of the week. If you just are drunk off your fucking ass and you got a group together, you can not go wrong with a solid game of Cards Against Humanity.
Solid.
Anyways, I knew
that
I just
was no fun Nancy over there.
Yeah, but you see, I just want to be the guy that threw the wrench in the system right off the bat, because I know we hadn't discussed that, but obviously there's something a little more engaging than that topic. And you know, I would say who better to introduce this but than the Toast Man himself.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're... I don't follow Reddit at all. I don't watch the AMAs. I don't care about fucking Battlefront Star Wars. You missed the AMA. Wow, we're going to talk about that, you son of a bitch. But Toast.
Yeah, EA got voted best company.
Best company running 2012 to 2017.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure EA is more hated than Trump at this point.
And you know what? And that, you know, on Reddit, people were like, why are people paying more attention to EA in this game release than the fact that there was a major push this week with 7 motions to have Trump impeached? But no, the news of the day was EA having the most downvoted comment in Reddit history. That's what gone down this week. That's what we're going to remember.
I'm pretty sure that if in 2020, if Trump runs and let's say his running mate was
EA,
EA, the president of EA, I'm pretty sure Trump would get voted in for a second term. Mm-hmm. Like that's what we're dealing with right
now. That's what we're dealing with right now.
It would be, he would win by 666,000 votes. Exactly how many downvotes.
The insane amount. Fly in the wall. Hey, motherfuckers. So in the comments, if you don't see that, well, what is up, fly on the wall? Good to have you here, son. Fly. And Bumble, as per always. Always a pleasure.
So let's first go over exactly what happened. So
break it down for us, Rye. Break it down.
So you're going to go, right? You're going to go shell out $80 for a new game, right? You're going to get in there, and the two characters you really want to play are going to be completely locked behind 40 hours of playtime.
They said 40 to 80.
No, Rye Bread. You know, they fixed that, buddy. They fixed it.
But yeah, but they also reduced the rewards you get as well. And this is what I wanted to bring up earlier. Is in addition to that, is after you collect a certain amount of credits in the arcade mode, you have to do a three-hour cooldown.
That's a whole other bag of worms.
That's a whole different bag of worms. They've completely changed the whole thing.
But what we got, okay, just as bad. So aside from the fact that you're playing a game in an offline single player mode, that was the issue they're talking about, the cooldown. You're playing a single player mode and you earn credits every time you play. The credits can be used towards unlocking what are potential microtransaction items. That's the issue people are having, that they're getting shut down from earning those credits while playing offline solo, single player. Insane.
They have to make sure that the offline game types can't be exploited in order for those people to go online later and use what they've earned in offline and online. But however, you can buy as many loot boxes as you want,
right,
and exploit it. Right. But if you want to spend 40 hours farming offline, ooh, that's exploitation. But feel free to spend $3,000 on loot boxes. Feel free! Feel fucking free!
Spend all your money.
So the stat that came out was some guy went over the total amount of credits you need versus how many you can earn over time. And it was 4,500 hours or $21,000 to unlock everything.
To unlock every item in a full price AAA game.
No way in hell is anybody sinking 4,500 hours into Star Wars Battlefront. And if you do, you should reconsider what you're doing with your life, because but this third one will be up before you're done. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
But you know what? We're talking, so talking about freaking microtransactions. Think of all these mobile games where you see in the news kids grabbing their parents' credit cards and dumping thousands of dollars into these games just so they can get like upgrades. It happens all the time. I've seen live streamers, and don't get me wrong, live streamers are trying to make a living off of playing these games, but I saw Clash Royale streamers dropping hundreds of dollars a night, having running totals upwards of like $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 in what they've purchased in this game on a mobile trend game. And if you see a game, a AAA title, which is offering that same gateway, that same enticing offer, fuck, it's just giving impressionable children the opportunity to spend that amount of money.
It's craziness. It's complete craziness.
It's the current state of gaming, though.
It is, and it's seems disgusting. To be
the absolute trend. I remember seeing loot boxes. The first time I ever saw loot boxes was a few years ago, either back in 2012 or 2011, when Mass Effect 3 got released. Of course, another EA game. But they had loot boxes in their multiplayer. Now, it was just like a horde mode multiplayer, so you'd go with a bunch of friends and you just kill shit. And that was the first ever time I saw loot boxes. And that was back when like Microsoft points still existed. So like a loot box was like 200 Microsoft points or something like that, and 500. So, you know, it gets upwards of $3 to, you know, $8 for a loot box. However, the credits in game that you were earning, it only took you like 3 matches to be able to purchase a loot box. So at that time, none of us really saw it coming because nobody really bought them. Is 3 matches later and you had one. That was the first introduction. And then ever since then, I've seen it just spiral out of control.
Every game.
Yeah, every game without fail.
Well, and you see these integral items to the game being locked behind a paywall or between an unreasonable amount of gameplay. And that's what's insane. When like giving anyone an easy way out, masses will take that opportunity.
That's what you have a problem. That's your problem.
Yeah. And I don't understand what the big deal is. Like back when the original Battlefront 2 got released, everything was unlocked from the get-go, right? Everyone had access to everything. That game is still being played on Steam multiplayer today. Mm-hmm. The game sold like hotcakes, made a ton of money, and everything was just unlocked. Like it's the loot boxes that I have a problem with, because if let's say you're going to charge me $15 for Darth Vader. I know going in that Darth Vader is $15. So if I want to go and purchase Darth Vader for $15, I know exactly what I'm getting. I'm not gambling. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to buy Darth Vader for $15. But at least I know what I'm going to buy.
Right.
Whereas these loot box systems, you can spend $100 for Darth Vader and not even get Darth Vader.
I get nothing.
In the fucking loot boxes. Mm. It's wrong. It's not right.
Well, and just the fact that, so, okay, and even this was the big thing that happened when we're talking about the Reddit situation. When this was posted, they were talking about like the Vader, the Luke Skywalker boxes being retail $80 for those loot boxes, where the game itself, after tax, you're spending close to $100. I mean,
that's
even
considering insane.
It's so $180 later, for a game that you expect you could just play with everything available to you, you're getting one of a multitude of characters. It's mind-boggling.
It is. It really doesn't make sense.
And the worst part is the response is a cop-out completely. They obviously saw the quote-unquote candid feedback from their audience and decided to reduce the cost by 75%. But what they don't tell anybody is they reduce the rewards by 75% as well.
Yeah, so the rewards you get from beating the game or from the arcade modes are reduced. So it's still going to take you pretty well the same amount of time.
But that reduction, that price reduction is a direct response to the negativity that occurred online.
Well, you have to.
Well, and people caught them in it.
Yeah, so, but just think about it. If like, that was their original plan. They weren't thinking of balancing. They went, oh, fuck, okay, we got our hands caught in the cookie jar. Yeah. Like, let's drop this shit. But
it went even further than that, because even when they fixed it, they still expected no one to catch on that it was still shitty. They were just like, you know, guys, don't worry. We decreased it. And then they're just like, well, you decreased the rewards again in offline mode, too. She's like, shh, shut the fuck up.
Everyone...
No, don't look at that.
And that just opened it up again. Oh, man.
Someone's like, hey, yeah, what about the cooldown in single player mode? What about that? Oh, we don't want to talk about that. It's just go play your fucking game. Go away.
The game is actually getting pretty abysmal reviews. Apparently, the single player mode is just it's shit.
Well, fuck.
Well, and when...
It's a matter of time.
When you're wrapped with this kind of controversy and this kind of negativity, it's hard not to recover from something like that, especially right before a game release.
I tell you what, I honestly got, like, and just so you guys know, like, I'm a big, like, NHL video game player, especially, and two things that I've known. For one, in the NHL games and the online mode, if you don't spend money to get packs, you do not get good players without a ridiculous amount of gameplay. That's hilarious. and you do lose. Like, I'm good at that game. You can't steal games. People with better players just crush you. It's unbalanced. And two, the 2K series actually had the rights to football as well. And in my opinion, one of the best sports games ever was, like, ESPN 2K5 football or whatever it was. And EA bought out all the rights so they could be the only game. They could be the only football game. So they could dominate that market. They wouldn't pay the NFL for direct rights.
And it's absolutely, and I just think the direction that the company took in retaliation for this, because obviously after Reddit caught wind of it, the amount of pre-orders that were being canceled was just absolutely insane.
Well, it was to the point where they removed the refund button.
Exactly. So that's how they
call in. They could try to convince you.
Convince you to keep it, right? And that's, like,
I guess
a company's retaliation to, oh shit, they hate us, let's make it harder for them to return the product. Like, Jesus, you have to try to repair that bridge to your community versus, okay, sever the artery, let's just try to see what we can keep behind, right? Like, it's
let's further burn it, let's just burn it down.
And I see Nova in chat, and EA, not only that, they were rated in 2012 and 2013, respectively, rated the worst company in the world.
Really?
Yes.
Not to mention the probably like 8 or 9 studios they've killed over the years, such as Maxis, Midway, mm-hmm. Pandemic, God knows who else, Bullfrog. There's a ton.
Well, they were responsible for the last SimCity release too, weren't they?
Visceral Games. They shut that down. That pissed me. I love Dead Space.
Oh, they shut that shit. SimCity's biggest problem was the single player required an internet connection, which is hysterical.
Exactly. And then having broken servers, which a lot of games this day and age, right out the gate, that's what you find. Servers that just fucking, like Diablo 3 is a prime example of a horrible server first day experience. But SimCity, unable to play it in its entirety because the servers are broken and you pay full pull and you got to wait for them to fix that shit. That's just unacceptable. But that's the kind of service that this company is providing and literally getting away with.
We're not necessarily saying that the games they make are terrible.
They're not.
What we're saying, well, it's not even them that make it, it's the other publishers. Sorry, smaller companies that they...
But the business practices that
We're saying, yeah, exactly. It's the business practices that are bad. And so I'll break it down to you. So let's say, I'm going to pull some numbers out of my bum. Let's say that every copy of Battlefront sold, EA maybe makes like $40. Or so in revenue. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's generous, maybe that's not generous enough. A person, and they've been now known as whales. So a whale is somebody who buys a shit ton of microtransactions in games. So even on Reddit, there was a post, I don't have the photo, but where someone bought $2,000 worth of EA Origin like gift cards.
Okay.
In order to buy, and he said that Best Buy literally ran out of gift cards, but they're ordering him more. So he bought 2,000. So if you think about $40 per that they make off the game, so let's say people try to boycott it, right? Well, one whale who spends $2,000 is worth like 500, you know, people that have bought the game. So all it takes is a few, maybe 100,000 whales, 200,000 whales who purchase this game, even 300,000 whales.
Well,
that it doesn't matter who doesn't buy it, because these people will pay. That's why EA doesn't backpedal completely. That's why EA doesn't take the money, because their stock price is still going to go up, and it has continuously gone up, even with being voted the worst company, even with being absolutely hated. If you look at their stock, it has consistently gone up, and that is because of people buying these microtransactions.
Well, and the microtransactions, it's
because they take AAA game series and then they slap their shitty business practices. That's all it is. I mean, the games are good. It's the practices that are not.
No, the games at the core are, but then when they wrap it with that business model on top of it, because when it comes to a microtransaction, that's essentially pure profit into the company's pockets. When they actually have
exactly, they've had to do nothing for it.
Yeah, when they have a packaged copy of the game, in some cases, $100 game. Everything said and done, the developer itself makes, like you said, 50, 40, 30% of actual profit off that after everything's said and done, with the profit that the brick and mortar store is making off it, that DICE would make off the game.
EA, history has shown that EA is a very, make a game, sell a bunch of copies, sell a bunch of microtransactions, drop that game, make the next game, and keep doing the same thing and keep just for that short-term profit, right? And every time they do it every year, their stock goes up.
Because they get these. Year.
Yeah, exactly.
Every year. Except this year. I'm not buying 18. I'm telling you right now, I'm not buying 18.
And
but they'll do it, right? Like Battlefront 1 got released, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't even know. And then they release this and their other series. They'll release, and then, a year later, they release another one. 2 years later, they're very quick. It's all quick bursts of money.
Mm-hmm. Plus, well, and actually, one thing, and this is interesting. I mean, you'll always see a company's stock go up and down, trending on what's currently happening. But EA took such a plunge after Reddit got a hold of this and flew with it and hit front page that their stock dropped to like abysmal levels for like a single day. So
yeah, and it was right back up like it.
Yeah, but that's what's really rough about the gaming community itself. The gaming community itself is that it loses its attention span for these kind of instances are very short.
It's actually dipped quite a bit. I just looked it up. It's dipped. Granted, less than 1% today, but I'm looking at the chart right now. There's a significant drop yesterday.
It's not defined significant in terms of the grand scale. I'm just saying in the past, even with older being voted the worst, their stock still climbed. Maybe this is the one that teaches them a bit of a lesson. I don't see that happening. I think there's going to be a few more of these instances.
And you even see with the AMA that they did today on Reddit that. And the unfortunate fact is it's really hard to follow through the end results of the AMA because that downvoting trend, no matter what the DICE developed, and it was DICE in this situation, not EA that were directly commenting. So the production team behind the actual game, not the overall publisher, but,
Queen Nova in the chat's got it. A company should care about their buyers.
100%.
Like, you could even use Cuphead as an example, right? Cuphead, essentially an indie game, pretty well, developed by not very many people, sold like hotcakes. Absolute hotcakes. No craziness. Microtransactions, no nothing. They have enough money to make a sequel, a trilogy, whatever the heck they want. And it didn't need to be a microtransaction or AAA game. Like, EA doesn't understand. EA wants to be the AAA developer that releases all the microtransactions to make up for the fact that they're spending millions of dollars on their game. You don't need to spend millions of dollars on the game in order to be like EA could be releasing games like Cuphead to subsidize the money that they're not making from microtransactions and stuff like that.
But when it comes when it comes to AAA games and microtransactions, once again, trending back to the fact that it's pure profit that they're earning off these microtransaction purchases. If they have five physical copies of the game purchased and they have one person that decides to do a $200 microtransaction, they made more profit off that one microtransaction. So they...
Yeah. It doesn't matter if five people don't buy the game because that one person just spent $200.
Gentlemen, define micro at that point.
Like, well, these aren't even micro. A micro to me is like $2.
All right, so
micro to them. Micro to them is like $5 per loot crate or whatever the going rate, $13 or something.
Well, and that's another thing. The trend in gaming, how a microtransaction used to be considered $1, and then just like inflation in the real world, now all of a sudden people find that $80, and not saying this is the point, this is the breaking point, the straw that broke the camel's back, where all of a sudden people are looking at $80 and go, wait, that's not a microtransaction anymore. And this is when people start kind of fighting back about it. But the fact that the developers got so greedy that it gets to the point where they're like, fuck it, let's try 80, let's try 90, let's push this out there, right?
It's insanity.
Oh.
It's absolute insanity. Yeah, exactly. Micro, to me, was always $1 or $2. If you want to, you know, maybe I'll buy some loot crates for $1 or something like that. A huge offender as well for the loot crate was Halo 5. Halo 5, Counter-Strike. But Halo 5... Their one mode, I forget the name of the game type in Halo 5.
Didn't play it.
Warzone. I was talking to my roommate there. Warzone. you could buy these, again, loot boxes. And the loot box would give you cards. So in Warzone, you'd be able to summon a scorpion tank. Or you'd be able to, you know, get all the good weapons and whatnot. And if you didn't spend money on it, your team wouldn't have a scorpion tank and the other team would, and you'd get slaughtered. And it was a huge offender, and it wasn't as bad as this game.
Wow.
But it's still ridiculous. Like, if I want to get a scorpion tank, guess what? I either play 10 matches or I spend $20, $30, $40 to get one.
Jesus Christ.
Well, and the pay-to-win model is the most painful thing, because honestly...
That's what that is. It's pay-to-win.
When you put your money down... realistically, like, here's my game, I purchase it, you as a gamer should have the right to an evenly matched experience that skill prevails overall, right? That's the idea behind it, right? And unfortunately, just like, that's why, like, when I play a game like Destiny, and I know Destiny's had its ups and downs, but one thing I can say about that is the microtransactions that occur in Destiny, which I don't purchase into, I don't necessarily agree with in the first place, but it's all a cosmetic side. It's all the dance moves. It's just get shaders for our characters. Let's take a look at a different Sparrow. Shit like that, right? That ultimately end, when you go into a PvP environment, you're not going to have the upper hand. Your upper hand is going to come from you grinding, putting your time in, learning the game better, right? The same thing you see in Counter-Strike, right?
Look at League of Legends. League of Legends is a free game. It's a multi-billion dollar industry or a multi-billion dollar company because of character skins. You have to buy rune pages for your masteries. You have to buy all this shit. And we're all guilty of it. I was a few hundred bucks in League of Legends. I was a few hundred bucks in Counter-Strike.
At least you know what you're getting when you're putting your money in, though.
Yeah, exactly. I spent $400 on Counter-Strike in 4 years on loot boxes. And it's all random.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was gambling. But listen, it didn't give me an edge, though. It was all cosmetic stuff. It didn't give me an edge, at least. That's the issue in Star Wars, is apparently it gives you an edge, I guess. I don't know.
It does, because not only do you have to... So it gets even worse, because not only do you have to get Darth Vader in a loot crate, or spend your 15,000 credits or whatever it is, you then have to buy more loot crates, either with credits or real money, to get the upgrades to Darth Vader. So
to be better at the game.
And then, of course, you could purchase microtransactions to increase your XP output so you can level up your characters faster and blah, 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 blah. And $5,000 later, you're number one on the leaderboard. Until someone decides to spend $6,000. By the way, Soul Eater says Rye Bread, love the beard. So you get some beard shout-outs.
Fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Everyone's commenting on your beard there.
That's why we have rye bread.
Appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you so
much. Why you have rye bread in here. Just we need a powerful beard, right? That's the important thing.
So I miss it at work too. I miss it.
For those of you, and
I miss you guys so fucking much.
I guess we should mention this. For those of you that are watching the stream live, thank you so much for coming out. For those of you that are listening to it down the road, don't forget we do post the podcast on YouTube, so you can enjoy this wonderful video experience. And or you can always, oh friggin', someone's shouting out, gonna work on your beard there, Jackson. Thanks, I appreciate it. But yeah, join us live we're trying to do it every Wednesday. And for the audio guys, don't forget to jump on YouTube and check us out. Sorry for that little disgusting plug I did there.
Okay. Are we done with the chilling?
What do you mean done with the chilling?
Are we gonna offer with guy loot boxes?
Oh my fucking god, stop. I'm ready, ready.
For free loot boxes?
Free loot boxes? That's a bold claim.
Free is a dirty word. Free is a word. Free is a word I don't.
Fired immediately.
For the guys that are watching, if you want to know the kind of dynamic here, the three of us, IRL, actually work together.
So I have a question.
Not right now, but
not technically right now. But sometimes, what's your question?
Just quickly. So I thought that might be good. So there's a popular model. I'm a PC guy, and I play a lot of the MMORPGs that are free right now, and a very popular thing is like VIP subscriptions. So increased experience, daily buffs, stuff like that. It's like $15 a month in some of them. What's worse, loot boxes for shit like that, or a monthly subscription to give players an advantage? What's worse?
I would gladly pay a monthly subscription, and I have paid monthly subscriptions
for advantages.
No, I guess not advantages.
I'm talking just for advantages.
But in terms of advantage, like, what do you mean? Like, more storage in my inventory? Like, I don't know if I can.
So, in Terra Online, for example, you get increased experience. You get a bigger inventory, bigger bank. You get a free mount, which makes you faster, which obviously makes the game quicker in that sense. More experience drops. You get daily buffs and like boxes to open every day for free that give you like potions and special.
All right, loot boxes are no good. But even then though, you're paying a subscription, mm-hmm. and again, it comes down to you know what you're getting.
I suppose
when you do that.
But to have non-paying players suffer
but the game is free regardless, right? So it's a free to play.
But I'm just asking, in your opinion, what's worse, the subscription or the loot boxes?
The loot boxes, 100%.
Well, the random aspect is just you get there. You get that shit all the time, like PUBG, for example. How many fucking crates do I have to go through to get my proper black Seattle's Mariner hat, right? Like, that's absolutely fucked up. I don't have my black Seattle hat. Instead, I keep getting a fucking camo shirt and a pair of stupid pants, right? That's
I get the same brown khaki pants like every single time.
So many of them. So many. I just go naked now.
Fucking PUBG.
Well, as naked as the game will allow me. Fucking
PUBG. That's actually been a lot of fun doing that.
See you, Soul Eater.
It's good to have you, bud. Thanks, Soul Eater. Appreciate it, bro.
See you later, dude. Oh my god. Last night, Mr. Jackson. Like, fuck. I hate when we get down to that last little bit and we just can't see where we're getting hit from. It fucking sucks.
Oh, when the bubble is so yeah, in PUBG, when the shrinking bubble, yeah, that's a pain in the backside, my friend. And that we were in the top 10, and then we took it last second. Oh, or we didn't take it. Sorry, we took it from somebody else the last second.
Right in the face, too.
And then there's part of me, okay, so actually, you know what, this whole fucking podcast actually stirred up some bad emotions for me regarding the game Fortnite as well. So my story with Fortnite is I thought it was going to be And it's doing very well with its standalone version of the, you know, the basically PUBG clone. But when it first came out, when it was first released, it had no intention to doing a battle royale game at all. But I really thought it was going to be a big hit. And I fell into the trap and spent entirely too much money on a founder's pack on that game.
It did give you a couple codes for...
It did. It gave me some good codes, and it gave you some decent characters and a good advantage in the game itself. But the game isn't a PvP based game originally, so having an advanced character isn't all that bad when you're teaming up and helping people. When you jump in and say, "Hey, no, I got the Skookum gun. Drop the blueprint for them. Take this. Take that. Let's load you up. Let's fuck up all these freaking PvE guys." Like it was. It was worth it to have that advantage in the game, but the amount of money that I spent on it, and then all of a sudden they release a free to play version that they're putting all their attention into, like, that kills me.
Yeah, it's a little rough, but I mean, Epic Games is shit, so I wouldn't expect anything less from them after the Gears of War. So Gears of War had loot boxes too. I mean, it was all cosmetic, but it literally divided their community. It killed it.
But what
people were so mad about these loot boxes.
What doesn't have a loot box this day? And that's what just is the worst goddamn.
Actually, sorry, it wasn't all cosmetic. It actually gave you stuff in horde mode that would make you better.
Dear God.
So it killed it. Their community is pretty well dead. And everyone was so mad because they when it first came out, they charged so much for these loot boxes. They're pulling the EA, right? So they charged so much. And they'd give so poor, and I played it, so poor credits in games, that a poor payout, that you couldn't, you'd have to go through like 10 games to buy one crappy loot box.
Oh no.
It was madness. And yeah. And I played it, I didn't even play it that much before I gave it up. I was like, this sucks.
Too much. Wow. Oh my God. Well, you know what? I don't think it's going to impact EA terribly. I don't think it's going to.
I don't think this one. I think if more of these happen, I think good.
I think personally, the gaming community as a whole needs to stop forgetting these instances, though.
Exactly.
And that's one.
There's a
major
meme
comment
about the cycle of EA. Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, I think I even saw it earlier.
Cycle of EA.
I might beat you to it.
It's a good one.
There we go. The video game cycle. I got it. I'm going to bring it up for us right now. Because there's so much truth to this. There's so much truth. Uh-oh, where did I just lose it to? For those of you that are listening, I'm sorry this part isn't entertaining. Maybe if I sing to you.
I mean, we can read it out.
Well, no, it's right there.
Did you find it? Are you still looking for it?
No, I found it. It's right there on the screen. The video game cycle. Excitement. Oh man, this trailer looks awesome. This game is the game I've been waiting to play. The critics are silenced. Then you get to the trust phase where I'm going to pre-order this game right now. Then the game is released and you hit the betrayal phase. The servers are down. The gameplay is broken. I have to buy half the content. WTF. The anger phase sets in. That does it. I'm never buying from this publisher again. A new game is announced, and the caution phase kicks in and go, wait a second, hang on. Remember last time, guys? And the new trailer's released to reinitiate you back into the excitement phase.
I don't even think that's, it's not even like, that same cycle can be applied to most things. It's really human nature. That it's a pretty good depiction.
It is, 100%.
We always forget. We forget about history. We forget about everything. And we repeat it. Over and over again. There's that old saying, you know, of those who don't learn about history are doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm. And
it's been around for probably 100 years.
And like prime example, like they've taken EA one more time, 2012, 2013. Worst company in the world. Universally panned and considered the worst company in the world. And then they pulled the shit on us one more time.
No.
And that's 2017, and the cycle continues. So no, multiple times. You're right. Every time we forget, and we just fucking take it again. So that's my.
It's but see, EA does something. They buy all the good development studios. They buy them all. So if I want to buy the new Mass Effect, like the newest Mass Effect, right, EA owns BioWare. I can't do that without giving EA money because right. They own BioWare. They own one of my favorite studios. Not anymore after Andromeda. That game was terrible. That's besides the point. And they shut down BioWare in Montreal that made that game. So,
did they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Rightly so, though. That game was something else.
Wow.
Was it like Heavy Rain?
Heavy Rain was actually decent in comparison.
I like Heavy Rain, Jesus.
Oh, man, I might have to mute Orion. Well, anyways, you know what? I think what we need to take away from this, and for a handful of people in chat, for what I think the three of us are going to actually try going forward, is you have to be aware of games. Don't pre-order, let them come out, see what the critics say, see what the reviews play out, watch a couple YouTube videos, because there's always going to be someone who's going to be first out to send that. Really know what you're purchasing before you get into it.
It's the easiest way to put it I could possibly think of.
You got to be careful with the reviews, though.
Well, because reviews are also subjective.
A lot of them are bought.
Okay, so then read 20 reviews, watch the gameplay.
IGN.
Yeah.
IGN. With that being said, I do believe, guys, we are running into our 45-minute mark. So I think I'm going to put a cap on this. Minutes. That was a quick fucking 45 minutes. But with that being said, anything, you guys, closing remarks?
Don't be a wallet warrior. Don't buy EA games.
And toast.
Don't buy loot crates you can't take back.
Balls of steel.
Atta boy.
All right. And I said my piece. Read your reviews, guys. Don't get suckered into bullshit shenanigans. I want to thank everybody for coming out and either listening, either watching episode 5 of the Stuff with a Guy podcast. As always, Rye Bread, Toast Runner, my boys, good to have you back, Toast. Good to always have you here, Rye.
Good to be back.
Oh, it's a goddamn pleasure. 9/11 was. There you go. I saved that one for you specifically, Toast.
Perfect.
Thanks for coming out, guys. It was
what does it mean
a pleasure.